Never forget the first Sunday I came to High Point. I came undercover, you might say. Came from a church where everybody wore dark suits. Actually, there were two colors, as I think of it now. There was light black and dark black. I came here hoping to blend in. You ever come to Madison for a church service and hope to blend in by wearing a dark suit? Look around you. You could get a clue as to how inconspicuous I really was. But since then, you've taught me to wear sweaters, and today I'm going to do just the polo shirt. I want to thank you deeply because it doesn't cost quite as much to dress the way I dress now as it used to cost. Well, let's see. That being said, I think there's a great temptation over the next few minutes. You've probably been thinking that I've been preparing this sermon for, six, seven, 8 years. And that's a joke. I should stop right now and not tell any more jokes. My family is nodding, yes. I am, however, going to preach from the text that is actually in your High Points page today. I know. Shocking, isn't it? For my family, who hasn't been here during this time, but who I'm sure listens faithfully to the webcast every single week, what I have been doing is printing a text and then coming up here on Sunday morning and saying that I'm not going to be preaching from that text. So that's why the woohoo idea. So we are going to go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm going to read just a few verses as we go along. Some of you may be saying, well, wow, he's really something. On his last Sunday, he compared himself to Abraham. That would be a lofty goal. I don't have any illusions about being Abraham. After all, he was 75, and I'm not that old. But what I want to do with you for the next few moments is talk to you about significance beyond success. I think what I'm about to share with you is what I'd really like to leave you with. But I'd also like to leave you with these truths not coming from me or relating to me. I want us to go on this journey together, so I'm going to have to ask you to do one more thing. Would you just please stand? And I want you to hold the hand of the person next to you as we pray, okay? Because this is a symbol of our being on this journey together. All right? So we're on this journey together. This is not about anyone else but Abraham and us. Sound good? And then I want to thank Pastor Dick Sisson, who just snuck in after preaching at his own church to be here. It's on his shoulders that I've been able to stand and pastor this place. Thank you, Dick, for a great ministry here. He's been back twice and preached here significantly. Advent 2 years ago, you opened our Advent series by preaching on hope. And I loved the fact that you stood right here, stuck your toes out over the edge of the platform, and delivered 15 of the best minutes I've ever heard on that subject. So thank you very much. And then you were our preacher on this Good Friday. And it was a better Friday because you were here. Thank you. And then you may have seen Nancy Grunewald, our former music director. Where are you, Nancy? You'll probably ask me, which one do you love more, John or Nancy? I love them both. And I've known them just about as long. So thank you very much for being here. And there are others of you that have come back for this morning. Rose and I deeply appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yesterday I was driving down to pick up my, which one did I pick up at Midway? My son and daughter-in-law. And on the highway, on the way down, one of you who's here this morning drove up so that I could see you, waved, and said that you'd be here this morning. Thank you. That was just really cool. Okay, so hands joined. Today, Lord, we're going on a journey just for the next few minutes. A few things to remind us of your wonderful grace for all of us and the journey to which you have called us, no matter where we are. We love you, and we thank you for allowing us to spend almost 12 years together. We praise you for your goodness, for wonderful times, all. Every moment being wonderful. Some difficult, but Lord, still wonderful. We praise you, and we thank you. Give us grace for the next few minutes together. In your name we pray, and all said, amen. Okay, let's get to work here for just a few minutes. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarah and his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about significance and success, because we've had a lot of successes together, but maybe we haven't realized how significant it all has been in our lives. Today's big question is simply, are you leading a life defined by success, or are you leading a life defined by significance? There is a big difference between the two. Success always points to self. It's my purpose, my vision, my mission, my strategies, my goals, my objectives, my evaluation of all of that, my achievements. Bottom line, it's all about me. Significance is really quite different. Significance always points elsewhere. It's about meaning. It's about making a difference. And sometimes not even being able to finish what you hoped to finish when you set out on the course. I'd like you to circle something in the word significance. I've actually highlighted it in a different color. Just circle that word sign. You all know what a sign is. A sign is something that points to a destination, points beyond itself to something more meaningful, more significant. I want us to understand what that word sign means in the life of Abram and how that might work out for all of us today. So, first, one of the first keys to significance is learning to listen to your Lord. See in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, what it says? The Lord had said. The Lord had said. Circle the word Lord. Remember this. Abram is a Babylonian. Do you know who the Babylonians are in the modern world? The Iraqis. We have sent our men and women, boys and girls, to the country from which Abram came. We've returned to roots, at least spiritually, because we name Abram among our fathers as Christians. He was an ancient Iraqi, but he was also, and most importantly, and write this down, a worshiper. Otherwise, how would he hear what God is saying? He responds to God, not only in God's being, but in his goodness to him. And God speaks to Abram. Now, this maybe feels unlikely to us because we like to prescribe to whom God speaks. We like to be the people who determine the most likely candidates, not only to be spoken to by God, but then to relay a message on to us. But I want to remind you of something. This may shock you. God speaks to anyone he wishes. Surprise. But most of all, God speaks to worshipers. People who are committed to connect themselves to Him, to be inseparable from Him, to be indissolubly united with Him. He connects Himself to worshipers. And worshipers cannot help but reflect their worship in walking with God, taking the journey of faith, like the one that Abram's about to embark on, like the one that you've embarked on. And they are prepared to be witnesses, because once we become Christians, we no longer have a choice as to whether or not we'll be witnesses. Our choice is how good a witness we'll be. God speaks to worshipers. In this passage, God is identified as the Lord. When you look it up in your concordance, you find that the word chosen by Moses, the author, was Yahweh. Yahweh is not the great, distant God who created the cosmos. In Hebrew, that's El. Yahweh is the God who comes close, the God who is intimate, the God who loves, the God who can be embraced and who embraces, the God who cares about every minute of our everyday, the God from whom you cannot escape. And why would you want to? Because He loves you so much. Yahweh is the intimate, loving God. I need to begin the sermon by asking you all the most important question with which you'll ever be faced. Do you know God in an intimate and loving way? If you don't yet, listen this morning as He reveals Himself to you in Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because you can have the same kind of relationship as did Abram. And be reminded that the Son, Jesus Christ, who hung on the cross for you, did so because God wants you to draw close to Him, wants you to know Him, wants you to be connected. It's the greatest love story ever in all of the cosmos. And it's the greatest story that ever will be. And you're players. You're loved by Him. Learn to listen to your Lord. In the search process that called me here, one of the questions to which I had to respond was, what kind of people do you find it most difficult to work with? That was not a hard question to answer. I simply answered, people who do not want to learn. Learning is a choice. But learning also means change, and most of us experience change as death. So it's not easy to change. But life, like this passage that we're reading, is a journey. We embark on it as did Abram. And when you take God's hand, you're going to do change, and you're going to be asked to choose at light speed. The rest of the world kind of goes on in its petty pace from day to day. And we're all but players on that stage. Remember those words from Shakespeare? But God calls us to a much more vital and meaningful relationship to Him. Life is a journey, and it demands going and growing, but thankfully it demands doing so with our Lord. We're on a journey together. And by the way, a journey that you can never go back from. You've, as a congregation, have walked a path over these last roughly 12 years that I've been here, and then the 17 years that Pastor Dick was here. And in the years to come from this place, you will walk a path, and you can never turn back. You'll never be the same. Hegel, the great philosopher and historian, said that everything that we encounter in life changes us. If we encounter it and we entirely reject it, then we are solidified in our view. If we encounter it and it affects us only slightly, then we are deflected in a new path that we otherwise would not have taken. And if it changes us radically and we embrace it fully and completely, we go forward with new feet and new vision and new mission. You can never go back. You'll never, ever be the same. So the only thing to do is go forward. Don't live in the past. The past is gone. It can never be repeated. You can't have it back. And why would you? Even if the past has been difficult, why would you? Because you're growing more into the image of the Son, Jesus Christ. Learn. Learn to listen to God. And like Abram, be able to say, "The Lord said to me." And don't forget that the best ways to listen to God are, first of all, to do what Jesus did. So pay attention to the Son. To read Scripture. It's full of dysfunctional people like you and me. That's the greatest story. That God is so honest as to connect Himself with us. And put us on the pages of His holy book. And allow the rest of the world to see the difference and change that He can make in our lives. So pay attention to the Son, the Scriptures, and the Spirit. Let both of those two first influences guide you in what you do, because God, the Holy Spirit, has come to live in you. And right at the end of the Lord's Prayer, which we prayed this morning, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, it says, and guess what the greatest gift is? That God, by the Holy Spirit, could live in us. Learn to listen to God. If you haven't discovered how to do that yet, just keep listening. Keep learning. You'll get it. Secondly, make where you are better. Make where you are better. The theme for the summit this year is lead where you are. Learn to make where you are better. And you say, well, where does that come from the text? Well, circle the word Abram. Do you know what Abram means in Babylonian? Outstanding! Think about Abram's parents when they gave him his name. They set in motion his future. I don't know what a Babylonian sounds like from that many years ago, but I can imagine that Dad held Abram in his hands and said, Abram, someday you will be outstanding. I can imagine that Abram, being a baby, might have done something in his dad's hands. And like every good dad, he would have looked at Abram and said, good, everything is working, still outstanding. Here, my son is outstanding. Pardon my humor. Make where you are better. Abram had already achieved incredible success where he was. He was 75. His name meant outstanding. He'd already become successful. You can tell by all the stuff that he had. But now God was calling him to significance. Now God was going to allow him to point beyond Abram's success to what God would do. The next stage of Abram's life would be determined by his ability to go and to grow, to not stay static and not return to the past. Abram had already made where he was better. How would he make where he was going significant? There's a temptation that all of us face when we're leaving a place to say, well, what have we done together? Is it better? Some of the pictures that you saw showed the Micah Center being built. That wasn't here when we came. The lights weren't here when we came. The PowerPoint wasn't here when we came. Those of you who are sitting in the balcony, you couldn't see anything when we came because there was no rake on the seats. It was all almost flat. But those are physical things, and they're not really the things that Rose and I hope to bring to this place. The significant things are the Bible studies that took place. Hundreds of people meet every week in different Bible studies. I have to give credit to my wonderful wife, because the Tuesday morning study and the integration of that, and the Beth Moore study and the precept studies were all things that God laid on her heart and that we began to do here. I want to thank the Gruens for the Stephen ministry. It wasn't here. We have started so many ministries. The children's ministry, its mission is to transform the lives of children and allow them to understand that the Holy Spirit can speak to them at early ages. The team that helped us recraft the purpose statement did so because we knew that the concept of grace could be understood at every age level. It was developmentally appropriate. You heard some of the other ministries that have been started, and some of you have helped us get things going. Those are the significant things because they pointed beyond personalities. And they will forever point beyond personalities to the great one who gives strength and empowerment to us all, to God Himself, our Father. That's what's significant. You know, when I first came here, they said, "We're calling you to a church that we call a pizza pie. It's big and broad with lots of variety, but not very deep." That's what the search team said. It's hard to grow a deep church anywhere nowadays. 16% of us move every year. Just about the time you equip someone for ministry or they're receiving Christ as Savior, they move on to something else. It's almost like starting all over again for them and for the church left behind. Think how hard it would be to build a house up above grade and then say, "Oh, we forgot the foundation. Let's lift up the house, build the foundation underneath, and set it back down." God has given us an amazing opportunity as a congregation to put in the foundations and to grow from this point onward. I thank every single person who's been a part of that process. Some of you are here, some of you are not. But I thank every single person. I think of the chairs of our church, each one perfectly suited for each time in our church's history over these last 12 years. How marvelous God's provision at every single stage. It's fascinating to watch God work. And we have to be careful not to despise small things. Rose and I had the privilege just a few weeks ago to sit down with Kay Warren, Rick Warren's spouse. You've heard about her desire to use the funds from the book that Rick has written in order to help with the AIDS crisis around the world. She came to the very first conference put on by evangelicals on the HIV/AIDS pandemic held right here in this building just 3 years ago. Before they put on any of their conferences, and they're about to put on their third in November, they came here. And so Kay turned to me and she said, "So has anything happened in Madison since?" And I said, "Well, yeah, some things have happened, but not nearly what I think we might have done. I'm so impatient about that." And she said, "You're not thinking that conference was for nothing." And I hesitated enough for her to look at me and point her finger and say, "Don't you ever despise small things. Without that conference, we wouldn't be doing what we're doing now." Praise God. Praise God. So, all of you, make where you are a better place. You have it within you. Make this place better by your being here. Go from simply being successful to being truly significant. Third thing, embrace change and grow. This maybe sounds a little like the first two points, but look at the part of the text. The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country, leave your people, and leave your father's household, and go to a land I will show you." I'm glad it's not all about leaving. And I'll bet you can say the same about your life. Thank you, God, it's not all about leaving. We experience too many leavings in our world. They leave us with hurt and pain. Whether it's the leaving of someone from this city to go take a job to the next, whether it's the leaving of kids when we give them away in marriage, whether it's the leaving of a spouse because you just can't get it together anymore, we're just full of leavings. When children die precipitously and before their time, when parents go on to be with our Lord and Savior and we feel their loss, when friends are no longer friends, we feel the pain of leaving. Look at what God said to Abram. Leave your surroundings, leave your society and your whole social network, and leave every bit of security you've got and go. Leave the familiar embrace, because I want to lead you to a new set of embraces. New embraces challenge us to grow. Somebody asked me the other day, "Pastor Bill, why do you and Rose have to leave?" Well, you might hear many reasons over the next few weeks or months or years. But can I tell you the reason, the honest to God reason, the unvarnished true reason? God's calling us. Can I tell you something else? Pray for us. We don't know where that is next. God hasn't even called us to go to Canaan like he did Abram. So pray for us. But God is calling us. There's something out there that God has for us. We don't know what it is, but this was the right time. Someone said, kind of objecting, "But we can still do a lot together." Yes, of course, we can do a lot together. Even though we're separate, we can still do a lot with God. But I want you to know that you have contributed immeasurably to Rose's and my lives. We cannot be who we are without you being a part of our lives. And we will never, ever forget you. And we will always pray for you. Just like the verse said, we will thank our God every time we remember you. So this is a time for all of us to embrace change and to grow. Rose is always getting on my case because I tip too much. And all you wait persons said, amen. Yeah. And do you know what I do when a waitress or a wait person who's a male serves us badly? Do you know what I do? I usually put twice the tip down. Yeah. And all of you are saying, what? I usually put twice the tip down because hopefully I can help make their bad day better. Hopefully I can encourage them to be reminded that, you know what, serving is a privilege. Serving's an opportunity. Serving has been a privilege. It's been an opportunity. So don't take this time in the next few weeks or in the next few months or in the next few years to push things away. Embrace even the hard time with God. Do you know, one of the times that God said to his people, "Nothing is impossible with me," he said it to Abram and Sarah when they couldn't have a child. Nothing is impossible with me. Do you believe the song that you sang, "Our God is an awesome God"? Do you believe that nothing is impossible with him? Do you believe that God has brought you to this moment to take you to those next steps in faith that are going to make this place a place of greater quality in grace and maybe even greater quantity in grace? Do you believe that God has brought you to this moment on the cusp of church history when the mega church is declining, even though you're going to hear about a few churches that have, you know, thousands and thousands, the mega church is declining and people are seeking family churches where they know each other and you're not just a number, where you can get together in Bible study groups and pray for each other, where your kids are known by the other families in the church? Do you realize the gift that God is giving us? Do you realize that we are able to tell our friends and our neighbors more about this wonderful place where grace will always happen. Someone was lamenting to me a few months ago, "Oh, Pastor, you have no idea how many people don't know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in our church. Isn't that terrible?" No! It's wonderful. That means that we're reaching people who have yet to know Jesus. Now we have to do a good job with this. We have to make disciples. And the only way that we can do that is to build relationships. I told the students this morning before this service, Josh McDowell wrote an article that I just read last night. Thank you for sending it to me. And what I thought was fascinating about it was McDowell said, we're losing our new generation of students because they feel like church is kind of like a professional tennis match. That they sit in the stands and watch the professionals bat things back and forth. And they can cheer for the professionals, but when it's done, they haven't been involved. McDowell says we've got to change church from being a place where professionals do all the ministry to a block party. A block party. Where we get to know each other and where we build relationships. And if you're in my generation, you know how bad we are at this because we've worked our tails off. But I watch my kids and I watch how important relationships are to them. And I say, God, if I only had that much sense. So if you're younger than me, make this church a block party. And invite everybody. And remember, it includes all generations. It includes people who don't know much about faith and those who know a whole lot about it. And have fun. And grow toward the Lord. Embrace that kind of change. I have two more things I want to tell you really quickly. Here's number four. Welcome blessing and cursing. And everyone said, what? You see, in the passage, God gives four promises. We love these promises. I'll make you into a great nation. Oh, when the guy wrote that book about expanding tents, the prayer of Jabez, wasn't that exciting? Oh, bigger, better, woo, more. No. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. You'll be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Four blessings, or four promises. One of them involved curses. Not God, by the way, cursing you. Other people. Can I see the hand of every human in this building? Okay, now keep your hand up. If you're perfect, put your hand down. If you make mistakes, put both hands up. I want you to look around because there are leaders in this room who have both hands up. Even Pastor Dick is going to put his hands up now that I've centered him. See? That's what you get when you come here. Treat you no different. So, we're all going to make mistakes. We'll all be fearful and we'll all be failures. And we'll all be fragile in our little egos. But we can all be significant in God, while at the same time being sinners. So, take your choice. You can arrange the words either way. You will either be a significant sinner or a sinner significant. But you're always going to be both. So, we're going to learn to bear with each other, and we're reminded of the words of Jesus, which Dick talked about on Good Friday. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. If somebody doesn't know what they're doing, don't berate them. Don't become divisive. Don't be angry. Say, praise the Lord, they don't know what they're doing, and sidle up to them and help them understand what it means to do a better job. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing, because I'm convinced that most people just don't know what they're doing when difficulty is something that they embrace rather than praise and helpfulness. So, just welcome both the blessings and the cursings. Don't focus on the cursings. Some of us have the personality that if we had the kind of a basilica that had a big round dome and a mosaic up there, we'd look and we'd be amazed at the beauty of it, but we'd find the one tile that had fallen out and we'd obsess about it. If you're like that, can I see your hands? If your spouse is like that, would you raise their hand for them? See, I couldn't have said that 12 years ago. I wasn't that smart. Now I know a little bit more about marriage. Yeah, I'm the guy. I lie on the bottom of the cathedral and look up at the mosaic and see the one thing that's broken or missing, and I go nuts. But that's probably why some of us are leaders, because we want that to change. Embrace both blessing and cursing. And then finally, obey. Obey. For both reward and refining. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram obeys, and Abram arrives. Later, his name is changed to Abraham. Maybe some of you were wondering why I hadn't referred to Abraham yet. God changed his name because he took him from being simply successful in his world, outstanding, to being the father of nations. The father of nations. And who claims Abraham as their father? The Jews, the Arabs, and even the Christians spiritually. Three of the great religions claim Abraham as their progenitor. So Abram was no longer simply successful. He was significant because he pointed to a greater reality, God who told him nothing is impossible. And this is the miracle of the story, that what God did for Abram, he will do for us. He will do it for us. Sometimes it'll be a reward, and sometimes it'll be refining. Sometimes it'll feel like we're winning, and sometimes it'll feel like we're losing. But God has given us grace, and he's allowed us to be non-denominational, which means we can welcome everybody, and he's made us evangelical, which means we love to share the good news of Jesus, and he's made us missional. We're not just going to sit here and listen to pretty sermons and not do anything about it. We're going to get involved just as Jesus did, and he's made us, thank God, multi-ethnic, because this is what heaven is going to look like. So, question number two, will you dedicate yourself today to be God's signpost? Are you going to point to the greater reality and what God is doing? Or are you going to point away? My prayer is that you point toward him. Would you stand as we pray together this final prayer? Together, Father, more than anything, I want to be your signpost. Jesus, help me be more like you. Learning to listen, making wherever I am better, embracing change and growing, welcoming both blessing and cursing, and obeying, whether receiving reward or being refined. Holy Spirit of God, I yield fully and completely to you. I love you. Amen. Let's pray a little further. Lord, I pray a blessing on this congregation and on Rose and me and our family. We pray that as our paths separate, that our lives will not, that we'll continue to go on. And I pray that change will be experienced in a marvelous way, that growth and encouragement will be the hallmarks of this place. And Lord, I pray that you will guide and direct in everything that is said and done for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, and all said, amen. Can I leave a verse of scripture? It actually was read a little earlier. It's that last slide, guys. There it is. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. This is Rose's and my prayer for you. We say so gratefully, and we thank you for almost 12 years of wonderful ministry together. God bless you.